Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about Janet Garcia playing Crisis Core and a bunch of other Square Enix games. PlayStation might be making customer service pay to win, and should Wolverine and Spider-Man share a video game universe? We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. That's Janet. I'm Greg. And you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and starting next week, get a whole bunch of cool new shows that we've been talking about that you should go watch over on the YouTube channel and understand all the changes. If you have no bucks to toss our way, support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code KINDOFUNNY. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the post show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Want to be part of the show? Write in at kindoffunny.com/PSILY. No Patreon subscription required, but thank you to all our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Delaney Twining, Holy Crumpets, James Hastings, Casey Andrew. Today, we're brought to you by NZXT and Uplift, but let's start with a PSN message from me. That's right. Usually we ask you folks, we'll write in the phone. That's right. I'm changing the game, everybody.
Shannon, is that allowed?
We're changing everything. Like I just said, there's a whole bunch. We're moving into October. If you didn't know, October 14th, we're launching the new Kinda Funny Studio, the spare bedroom. Of course, there's going to be a big old marathon live stream. We pushed a video in a town hall live today as we record this, changing how we do Patreon, changing a whole bunch of stuff, and that's all going into effect when we start October next week. So usually, yeah, you'd write in with your PSN message on Patreon. Not anymore. Now you can just do it, like I said, at the top of the show there, kindoffunny.com/PSILY. Go in there for free. Don't need to do anything. You can do it. And I thought, you know what? Since it's the last one, I'm going to take it. It's like Goonies. You know, remember Goonies? Or is that too old a movie for both of you? Did you ever watch Goonies?
I didn't watch Goonies.
I mean, I'm very aware of Goonies. I didn't watch Goonies.
Okay, but great. Do you remember when Sean Astin reaches out? He's like, this was my wish, and I'm taking it back. It wasn't a turtle. It was a coin.
You've like seen all the movies from the 1980s. It's not on us. That you watched all the movies from the decade before you were born.
I mean, yeah, just because, you know, I had parents who were raised in that era, so they had me watch the movies that they.
My parents.
They
liked. Whoa! Your parents hung out with you? Because
yeah, you hung out with your parents.
No, I know I'm in a unique position too, because my parents were also 20 when they had me. So
yeah, my parents were watching Nigerian movies. I can tell you about old Nigerian movies.
I'd love to know more about Nigerian.
Let me tell you about A Sophia Goes to London. That was a comedy classic right there. It's about this dude from Nigeria who's like essentially from like the streets. He was not like in the upper class whatsoever. But he somehow found himself in London. And he was getting into shenanigans. He was probably like the Nigerian always. Mr. Bean. he was really funny. Shout out to Sophia.
Okay. Are those, now this is going to sound stupid, but are those black and white? Like, how old are those movies?
No, they're probably, honestly, they're not that old. They're probably, I imagine, early 2000s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You said Mr. Bean.
Is this on Amazon like Prime? Is it on Amazon? What am I looking for? What's this called?
I can spell it. It has different kind of spelling.
I'm here.
Sophia give it to me. In London.
Find out you know what?
I'm not even spelling this right. Oh, here you go. Sophia.
Ah, okay. Oh, Sophia in London. There it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 2003. Comedy drama. 2003. Wow. Yeah, that was way earlier than I thought it'd be. You know?
Huh. Yeah.
It was on at one point. It was on Netflix. It's on Netflix. Apparently.
Wait, is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
A villager
I know what I'm doing
in Nigeria becomes the sole beneficiary of his late brother's estate in England, which, according to custom, includes his brother's fiance. What? Wait, what? All this guy inherited a fiance in this movie?
They're making some great movies back in the day in Nigeria. Let me tell you. Sophia in London, one of the best.
Well, you know who's making great games right now? The one and only Insomniac, and they were on the tip of my tongue. Janet, I know you listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily. The other day, Blessing and I crushed it. We talked about a Bill Roseman interview that was in GamesIndustry.biz where he was saying, you know what, we don't feel the need to have an MCU version of Marvel games. No Marvel games cinematic universe. He said, quote, "The world is amazingly very familiar and accepting of the multiverse. We have all these different realities. Now they're all real, and we want to give everyone the freedom to tell their story. We don't want to say, you can't blow up the moon because this game over here by another studio needs the moon. We want to give everyone the freedom and the clear lane to tell their story. Blessing, you and I talked about this. We killed it. We talked about Marvel Games, what they're doing, where they're going, how this is a great idea. But we touched on Insomniac and the fact that when Bill's talking about this, big old Billy Rose, he's talking about, you know, Insomniac's game for Spider-Man affecting Guardians of the Galaxy over here, and then that affecting, you know, Marvel Snap and like all these different things from a million different developers and a million different things. The more I've thought about it since then, because I can't get Wolverine off the brain. Is it because of Hugh Jackman? Maybe. I can't get Spider-Man off the brain. Is it because Spider-Man is awesome? Probably. The question I have here, Janet, is should Insomniac have the Insomniac Marvel Universe?
No, I don't think so. I think it just creates the same problem, but the moon is within your control. And if we want to extend the metaphor, right? I think inherently it adds a level of limitation. And I think already in games, there's such a, I don't know if you want to call it a challenge unnecessarily. I think it depends on how you approach it. But the idea of what's the most common thing people ask when like a second game in a franchise comes out, do I need to play the first? Do I need like X, Y, and Z to understand it? How do I catch up on it? There's so many YouTube videos and content trying to support that. And sometimes you even see those supports baked into the game. That being said, I do think you could kind of pick and choose how you would go about it. If you did, you could make it, you know, small nods. It doesn't have to be, you know, world changing, but I think it does invite more complications that aren't quite worth the, oh, hey, that's the thing from like, you know, in the diary, they wrote about this one accident that happened and that's it happening here. Like, I think the value of the fun that there would be for people that notice that would be diminished by the eventual limitations and like, and then we end up with something chaotic like the Zelda timeline where nothing makes sense.
I'm with you of like, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy should share the world with Spider-Man. But the fact that Insomniac's doing both Spider-Man and Wolverine, I think puts them in such a unique position to just treat all three of those games. Because I'm tossing Spider-Man, Miles Morales in there. And I guess properties now, right? Because it'd be four games, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Miles Morales, and then Wolverine. I would say the more I've thought about it, Blessing, the more I've come around of they should do it. They should put Wolverine and Spider-Man in the same universe. And again, what's it add? Not much. I don't think it's going to be crazy to see Logan at the bar and there's a thing going and it is, you know, the white Spider-Man going through and there he is with Miles Morales and they're kicking the shit out of Rhino again. Like, I don't think it adds a ton to it, but I do like the idea that they can't do, and I don't think they should do, a multi-publisher, multi-developer version of the MCU and Marvel games, a Marvel game cinematic universe that ties all this together, because that's outrageous. But giving Insomniac the latitude to take what they've already done, because I know the Spider-Verse in Insomniac is numbered. I forget what it is off the top of my head, Barrett, if you give me a Google on it. Why not drop Logan in there? Am I wrong, Blessing?
I mean, I think that's what inevitably is going to happen. I think the part of this question to dig into is to what extent does it happen? Because I do think that when we finally get our hands on Wolverine, there will be very small references to Spider-Man. I think there will be a thing that's like, hey, Spider-Man exists. And in some way, we might come to understand that it is the Spider-Man we know from Insomniac Spider-Man games. But I don't expect there to be a scene where Peter Parker pops up somewhere in Wolverine, right? Or Miles Morales pops up somewhere. And I think that's kind of where the line is drawn, because when we're talking about an Insomniac universe for Marvel, how many entries do you need to actually be a universe? If it is just Spider-Man and Wolverine, is that a universe, or is just like two guys chilling in the same timeline, you know?
I do have Barrett over here keeping me honest. Earth 1048 is the Marvel universe that is the one that has Spider-Man in it from Insomniac.
Like, what do we benefit out of a shared universe situation aside from the fun Easter eggs?
See, I think from the get-go, not
shared
much.
Shared DLC.
They'll just do one thing, right? Yeah, it's where, you know, Mary Jane went backpacking in Canada and runs into Logan, and then you have to do stealth missions as
and
her.
You have
while
to
Logan
own both games to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
But
totally.
If you have the PS4 version, you can get the PS5 version of the DLC
and
for just $10
PS
more dollars.
Plus, you get one of those things for free, maybe.
Can I get a Steelbook collector case from each of them?
No.
Damn, that's the one I want.
You can,
that's
but it's empty inside.
I think
it has a rock that says suck on this. When you
on these initial ones, Bless, I don't think you get much. And I'm with you that it shouldn't be in Wolverine, Peter Parker pops up for no reason or whatever. I think it's a much smaller Easter egg. It is a much smaller nod. It is a thing on the TV, a thing on the paper,
yeah,
then picking
Wolverine
up.
Wolverine picks up a newspaper that is like, Mr. Negative did some shit in New York.
Exactly, then, yeah. Right? And I think like all that is at that point is like, oh, that's really cool and different that Insomniac is one universe and telling their version of the Marvel universe that they're trusted so much already to have their own spider, you know, universe going on now to have Logan as a property, right? What do they want to do with that? And yada, yada, yada. I don't think it does anything initially. It does lead to what could be interesting later on. Like, you know what I mean? If you want to eventually have a Spider-Man Wolverine team up game or something to that effect, or bring them in. Cause I think once you establish that they're in the same universe, and again, don't beat people over the head with it. Maybe it is that Kingpin escaped and is somehow crosses paths with Wolverine and that's one of the missions you're up to, right? Or some shit like that. But I think if you lay that groundwork later on when it's just accepted they're in the same universe, you could do something cool with that.
Yeah, I would just have to hear the pitch on what is the culmination of this, if there is culmination. Because I off the bat, a Wolverine Spider-Man game, even though like part of me is like, I guess that could be cool, there's no part of me that's like, I need this, you know? Like I ran in the Black Panther Captain America game that was shown to us in a way where I'm like, oh, this sounds awesome. But if you came for me from scratch and you're like, hey, I'm making a Black Panther Captain America game, my first question would probably be like, why? What is the reasoning for them to be together? But, you know, Amy, the Skydance studio, I think, has given a good argument for, hey, no, this is taking place in this timeline during World War II. It is them teaming up for these reasons. And they're introducing these two other characters that are related to both of them. That's going to elevate the whole situation. That I'm like, all right, cool. That makes sense. Let's hop into it. What is the justification for Wolverine and Spider-Man here? I know there have been crossovers in the comics where Wolverine and Spider-Man are doing some shit, but you know, what is like, who is the villain? What is the setup? What is even the gameplay setup? Because I expect that Wolverine is going to play way differently from Spider-Man. Is this going to culminate in something? I think that's a bigger question for me. And if so, what? Or is it, hey, down the line, 6 years, Insomniac might also make a Hulk game, and now we're making a trio game between Hulk, Spider-Man, and Wolverine? Like, if it's something
but
like that,
you have the same problem you're talking about, right? Of like, what's the hook to it? And I think anytime you bring in creatives, they're going to come up with great ideas for it, right? Like, I think you could do something fun, right? That would be, and everybody stick with me because I know you're immediately going to throw Batman v Superman in my face, but Wolverine versus Spider-Man and have it be that, flip it on its head of either, you know, Wolverine's been pushed over the edge and he's back into Weapon X mode. And he's just out there and he needs to be stopped. And Pete knows him as a friend and, you know, previous Avengers stuff and wants to stop him. Or flip it and it's Spider-Man. I mean, now we're getting into Web of Shadows territory, which I know many people adore, where the symbiote's kind of taken over on Pete, right? And he's gone too far and Wolverine's trying to stop him. And you could do something fun with that, I think. And this, I mean, because I feel like even
without them formally sharing, though, like you could just say we're doing that in this individual game. Like, I don't think you need to set it up. Like, people would buy into whatever.
Sure, but wouldn't you buy into it more if you had more of an investment in it? I think stick with me.
Sure,
I think people are more excited for Spider-Man 2 because they're invested in Miles now after Miles, Spider-Man Miles Morales, than they would have been if we just left Spider-Man 1 with him upside down on this in his college dorm room or whatever, right? And then we just jumped to Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, but I feel like that's less of a, not that any of these things are stretches, because like Bless, as you pointed out, like we've seen so many like pieces of past lore that you can draw on, that I mean, you could pull out some deep in the weeds comic shit and make anything happen at this point with how much content there is. But I feel like the Spider-Man Miles Morales thing is so much more inherently related than, you know, Spider-Man and Wolverine and Spider-Man and Hulk or whoever may be next to come. Like I think you more so do risk yourself writing yourself into a corner if you were to go for it. Now, maybe it's something they decide after the fact and then they're like back and justify like, oh, well, actually, if you read this piece of paper on the ground, you would know that we've been planning this for the whole time. And but I think they would probably wait on pulling that trigger if they wanted to end up doing that.
It's that tough thing where in game development takes so much longer than so many other forms of media, right? Where it's so tough to plan a video game MCU because when we're talking about how many Spider-Man games and Wolverine games we're going to get, we're talking about one every few years right? And so how much can you do with it with that? But like taking that back to what we know about Insomniac's universe, in Spider-Man, they have references to Doctor Strange. They have references to the, like, Avengers Tower is in there.
Yeah.
The Sanctum Sanctorum is in there. I was going to say the Rick Santorum, which is a different thing. But
that's, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there.
You don't want to go. That's a different place. We never want to see it. But you have these things that are teased, right? As a, hey, this is a bigger Marvel universe. We're not diving deep into any of that shit, right? This is a Spider-Man story, but you know that stuff is out there. I'm sure Wolverine will have that. Wolverine, there's probably going to be references to other mutants and all that shit. I could see it being a Uncharted Last of Us situation, where Uncharted 3, you had the reference to The Last of Us and nobody realized was a reference to The Last of Us. And maybe have them point back and forth or lean into teases to the next game. I think it could be really cool if in Wolverine there is some sort of tease to, oh, by the way, our next game is going to be Storm, or our next game is going to be this other character, and have them pass Cyclops. The baton to that, or Cyclops. Yeah,
Nightcrawler.
I don't know if Nightcrawler would be as... I mean, I like Nightcrawler,
Someone pitched, like, a Nightcrawler, like, Portal game, bless, and in our chat the other day, and I was like, 100%,
I'll play a Nightcrawler puzzle game. For me, I was thinking of it as, like, an action game, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to punch people as Nightcrawler. I want to teleport, but I don't know if he has it like that. I guess I give him a sword or some shit. But yeah, if it's passing the baton to, like, whatever the next thing is, I think that could be cool, and that could maybe be worthwhile in a way that I'd be down for.
I think if anybody could do it, Insomniac could do it. And I think that it wouldn't go far beyond what we're talking about with these references. Like, yeah, you know, Doctor Strange exists, the Avengers exist in their Spider-Man universe already. Why not that, yeah, Wolverine exists in that universe, obviously, and he's doing some shit across the country or the continent or the world, and that's happening over there. And it doesn't need to affect anything in terms of Spider-Man, but it gives you the thing to give yourself two Wolverine games, another Spider-Man game, and then have them do something in a crossover comic booky way that works really well in comic books and works really well in movies, and we haven't really seen in games, in terms of, here's our version of Wolverine, here's our version of Peter. You've fallen in love with them, you've, you know, laughed with them, you've cried with them, you've gone through these journeys with them, and now we're bringing them together. You lied to their faces. Janet, you are already down in LA, so I can't say we sent you to LA, but you were in LA and we sent you somewhere specific in LA to play a bunch of Square Enix games. How is Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion? Will I like it?
It's awesome. I think you'll like it. Have you played the original?
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? I'm not some dork. I'm not Ryan Clements over here. So Final Fantasy VII Remake is the first one where I was like, oh shit, and I rolled credits on it and I had a great time.
That's fair and fine.
Tots. Topic of the show. Tots. You didn't have the graphic.
I don't have it here, Greg. I'm sorry.
I thought the whole reason you said that was because you needed the graphic.
I like your shirt, Greg. The Freak Show Social Club.
I tried to download.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one of my brand new Halloween things, because I'm a Halloween
king.
Okay. Oh, that's why. That's probably why I like it.
That's cute. Yeah.
I love Halloween.
The Prince of Halloween, some call you. That's pretty cool.
That's what they call Blessing. I'm the king. Anyways, back to it.
I tried to get the graphic in time. I couldn't find it.
Everybody said we were going to be nice to each other on this show today. Don't turn us against each other.
I'm just saying, like, Janet's the Lord of Holidays, you know. None of the anything below that doesn't really matter, you know. You're just joking yourself.
I appreciate that.
I agree.
But yeah, so anyway, myself. Final Fantasy Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion. I think you'll like it. I feel like it's just an enjoyable game if you're out here looking for a fun combat system. It is a little bit more. It's funny because it's a known quantity, right? This game came out originally PSP in 2007, and it was interesting being at the event. You know, it was just kind of set up like a few little stations. Every event set up a little bit differently, and I think especially post-pandemic, it's been interesting, like, jumping into things. But there were still a few other people there, like, besides myself for my time slot, and I heard, you know, people talking to the team being like, this game is why I bought the PSP originally. And I'm like, I've not played this game, but I played 7 Remake.
I've never heard of this game. I didn't know.
Yeah, I was like, and I feel like those are the two people that you kind of have, like, that's your audience, right? It's going to be people that loved the game back in the day, want to play it again now, or excited to play it again now. And then I think Final Fantasy VII Remake, as funny as it is for a franchise as long running as Final Fantasy, for a lot of people, myself included, like, that was the first full game you played.
Yeah.
I think coming off of VII Remake, I felt very at home with this game, even though it is a lot more, you know, leaning, it's real-time action kind of situation. So you have a little bit of that slowdown when you, like, get into certain menus, but I don't think it's quite as tactical or like strategic as the combat in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Part of that is probably because it was originally a game on a handheld device, and I do feel a little bit of that casualness in terms of things being both simplified and also kind of running in the background. Like, one of the big, I think, hallmarks of this game that people will remember if you played, you know, the original, because again, they're not really changing anything either. It's funny because I looked on the website and how they described it, and they describe it as an HD remaster, even though on other places of the internet, sometimes they call it a remake. It definitely has like a modern look to it. I think there's been some like UI improvements and like touches here and there to make it feel like, if you didn't know better, you would just accept this as a modern game. But I had a great time playing
like it looks like a PlayStation 5 game. It doesn't look like a PSP game that's been up-resed or something.
I've been getting mad at the remaster nomenclature because I have been like, this looks like something where if I just picked it up and played it, I wouldn't go, oh, this was obviously a PSP old game. Like, Jaina, do you get that feeling at all?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Like, if I didn't know better, I would just think this is a brand new SKU. And it's funny because then, like, I was digging further into the website and like, okay, well, how else do they talk about it? And they mentioned, like, this has you're going on such an epic journey. This has broken the limits of an HD remaster. And I'm like, it's not an HD remaster. I think, you know, HD remaster remake, however you want to slice it, it certainly isn't doing nearly like the overhaul that you got for Final Fantasy VII Remake, where they changed, like, the gameplay dramatically. Those feel like completely different games. You know, they like have it's a different, more specific slice. This is like, if you played the old one and you play this one, it is pretty much a one-to-one in a lot of the beats. Again, I overheard people that had played the original being like, yep, I knew exactly where like everything was. As soon as I got into the area, like, I remembered this from my time back when I originally played. I played kind of the opening-ish area, about 20 to 30 minutes of gameplay after like a little bit of the prologue. So like, my character was like level 5 already when I got there, to like the Wutai area, and it's, you know, under siege. You hit up a couple of officers, a couple of random encounters, and then you do like two, I guess, boss battles, really, you know, two larger encounters. But yeah, I loved it. It has, if you haven't played it before, the way the limit breaks and the buffs happen is in the upper left corner. There's like a 3-numbered slot machine running at all times, and it'll just land on random digits, and those digits will equal either a limit break special ability or like some type of buff, like no MP cost for a few seconds, things like that. And the limit break's super clear. It comes up across the screen, you hit triangle, you do it, you go into like, you know, a cool animation, or sometimes there's like these weird flashback cutscene things that kind of happen that maybe like inspire the character to like do X, Y, or Z. So I really enjoyed it. It felt casual, so wait, simple, kind of beat 'em up-y.
The flashback cutscenes, are those like, do they play kind of like deja vu? Because remember, that was the whole thing with Final Fantasy VII Remake. As somebody who never connected with Final Fantasy VII the first time, I beat it, had a great time, but immediately hit up Tim and I'm like, so what the fuck's happening? And like, we have a whole spoiler cast review about it, right? Where it's like, it deviates from the timeline we knew, but it references the old timeline, so it's all this fucking weird shit. And there was the call to Crisis Core and yada yada. So even they're saying like, oh, well, it's kind of a remake, it's not a full remaster, or it's kind of a remake, not a full remaster, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm still expecting weird shit in this that'll somehow talk about the timeline being all fucked up, even though I won't understand it.
I don't think, this is such a weird question to field, because I'm, like, right there with you, where I'm not, like, an expert by any means on, like, what's going on. So, yeah, Bear pulled up the clip of where you have, like, this flashback to Zach being in school, like, training, basically, for, like, his role, and he forgets his sword, and he like runs back, and it's just kind of like a flashback to his a random earlier part of his life. It's not like a huge story moment that like cuts deep in any way, at least not in that cutscene. I don't know if there's other examples where you'll see like a traumatic like integral story moment, but it's really like, oh, this memory maybe like ties to this certain buff that you end up getting, that kind of thing. Okay, really just kind of a play on, if you like play any games that have like those dramatic moves where you'll do like a very elaborate takedown that you could skip or not skip, it's like that sort of situation. Yeah, it definitely has, I think, if you're someone new to Final Fantasy like myself, a bit of the, you know, like hammed up elements of the story, I feel like, has always been a bit of the tone, especially as a newcomer. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time with it. I am really looking forward to this when it ends up dropping. It does have random encounters, which in my time I was fine with. I don't know if that will wear thin the more I end up playing of it. How does that land with you? Again, I don't know how familiar you were with the, you know, game prior to like us having this conversation now, or what you're looking for in more of your Final Fantasy experiences, but is that like an automatic you know, I heard you recoil, Brelasses. Are you kind of out? Are you out?
I mean,
the
I'm not out. No, I'm like, I'm excited for this. And
you like Final Fantasy VII Remake, right?
Oh, I loved Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yeah. It was one of my favorite games of the year.
Kind of funny, it's game of the year that year, right?
Yeah, sure. And I was very excited about that. And after I loved Remake so much that, if you remember, I went and I downloaded the original Final Fantasy VII version that they have on PS4, and I started playing that as well. And I played probably about 15 hours or so of that.
Wow.
I got like probably halfway through the game, I imagine. And that's a game that does have random encounters. And honestly, I played so many JRPGs with random encounters that it's something that I'm willing to put up with. And like something that's, it's not always a bad word. It's just one where I'm like, oh man, when you're in the flow of, oh, I just need to get to this other area, and you have to,
yeah,
you have to run through and then stop and then either finish this fight or run and then do that again, take two steps, and it happens all over again. That gives a PTSD to so many different JRPGs that I've played. But you know, if it's the game, it's the game. And honestly, the way you describe it has me excited for it, right? Because this sounds almost more traditional to what like an older or a more classic Final Fantasy VII entry might be, as opposed to what Remake is. And I think that kind of goes back to what the way in which they're referring to this being a remaster as opposed to remake. Because when we're talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake, to Greg's point or slash question about like, is it invoking like the whole ghost situation of them trying to keep the timeline intact while also all this crazy shit is going on and Sephiroth's trying to get the upper hand and all this stuff. You know, they call it Final Fantasy VII Remake because they're remaking Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Right? Not just in the sense of it's a video game remake, but in the sense of we're remaking the timeline, we're remaking the story, all this stuff, yada, the weird nerdy shit. Them not calling this Final, or what's it called? Crisis Core.
Final Fantasy VII. It's not a remake, it's a reunion,
Reunion. Them not saying remake and using reunion as a thing, slash calling it a remaster in the casual sense, makes me think that this is going to be way more one for one, and it's not going to contain that ghost stuff, which has me both.
I think it doesn't need to as well. I think that was the whole point, right? Is that the main remake trilogy that they're planning is kind of integrating Crisis Core more into its story, whereas like Crisis Core doesn't really need to do that on its end, from what I understand. Chat, let me know if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and it has me excited because one of the reasons I was excited for Final Fantasy VII Remake was because I didn't originally experience Final Fantasy VII, and so I was looking for that story anyway. And so Crisis Core possibly giving me just, hey, here's Crisis Core. I'm like, cool, that sounds dope. But on the other hand, I am so thirsty slash I'm like starving for whatever's next in that Final Fantasy VII Remake story that I'm like, oh, what if they did have more of the ghost shit so I can like figure out like what's weird here? Like, what is the weird shit going on? Is that double-edged thing? If I kind of want both at the same time, they're not going to be able to give that to me.
Yeah, this one is just much more of a one-to-one, with the main differences just being, I'm sure, like to a degree, a little bit of the feel, but really just like some of the UI stuff and the visuals. That being said, it doesn't look as good as Final Fantasy VII Remake does, which isn't shocking in that they're not, you know, it's not as dramatic of an overhaul. It's really just, hey, this is a beloved game that has relevance that, and I think too, like I was kind of digging around, and I believe at one point they said while they were remaking Final Fantasy VII, they were like, what if we also hit up Crisis Core? So this is really more of a, I think in terms of modern era iterations of Final Fantasy, a companion piece to some of the content that we're already getting of what is a beloved, critically acclaimed game. And yeah, it totally felt comfortable, modern. A lot of the skill set that I developed from Final Fantasy VII Remake felt like they transferred over. Okay. That's definitely something that I was lightly into, and even just taking up this appointment too, I'm just like, well, I'm not the biggest Square person. You know, I feel like that would maybe to a degree be blessed just from a genre perspective, right? But we got really used to Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Sorry,
and I
drinking
felt
water.
Like,
yeah, Bless is a huge Square.
How fucking
got
dare
him.
You. All right. Go play
asked,
fucking
I'm sorry.
Loco Roco.
I thought
somewhere.
I asked if we could have a nice day today together.
Yeah, Greg was the one who was like, oh,
clear.
Let's all be nice.
Bless he shows up in the pre-show and is just screaming about something. He's mad at the audience for GTA Witcher. That's what I got to hear. You know what I mean? He set the tone. He poisoned the well, Jamie.
The audience set the tone.
Ask us of this like we're min-max or something, you know? Like, we're not going to listen to that.
I don't have to ask Min-Max to be nice. If anything, they got to ask me to be nice, but they wouldn't because I'm probably too scary to ask to be nice. But yeah, this game was awesome. I really enjoyed my time with it. Looking forward to like in its entirety when it comes out in December 13th. So it's actually like not crazy far away, but also it's so tough because it's in that like that like slippery holiday period. Here's me doing one of the boss battles. Not gonna front, the person who walked through the demo was like, you're gonna want to slot some material real quick in case you forgot. It had that classic like before you go kind of re-equip everything. Like it just felt very natural, and I think there's a lot of I don't want to call it hand-holding, but I feel like there's a lot of solid telegraphing to the systems in this game, besides just having the classic like overlay tutorial screen. There's a lot of stuff that pops up, I feel like, very in your face while you're in combat. Like your enemies have like these special abilities that you can, there'll be like a bar that appears above their head, and if you like knock it down to its entirety, it like stops their attack. If you knock it down but not to the entirety, it decreases the amount of damage you get. So while there is a lot of stuff happening on screen, I felt like they did a pretty solid job kind of letting things sort of run in the background and not super penalizing you if you miss stuff. I think that is the pro of you randomly getting those like slotted buffs and abilities here and there. I'm sure at times, I don't know like to what degree the randomness will end up impacting, you know, how much you may struggle with like certain combat moments, depending on what you end up getting and how skilled of a player you are. But it felt pretty approachable, and I thought all the systems were really digestible and kind of fun. Like, I like the weird slot machine thing. Again, not new. If you played the old game, you already knew of that system. But as someone that hadn't, I found it to be like a fun take on stuff that was familiar to me from having come off of Remake.
Are you excited to play the final game when it comes out?
Yeah, I am just nervous that I won't be able to really fit it in with like it landing at that right before kind of holiday break time. And admittedly, I will say, because it has such a, I think, digestible combat system and a little bit of stuff like casually running in the background, part of me is like, man, I could see why this really did hit on PSP. Not that I want to necessarily play it on something that old at this point. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, it would have been kind of cool. That's being said, I, you know, obviously played this on PS5 at the time. The Steam Deck, yeah, it's so heavy. I got to put like all these pillows underneath it to really rock with the Steam Deck. But yeah, I am excited for this when it launches in December. Hopefully I end up playing it. What about y'all? Are y'all going to pick this up after, you know, are you more or less excited hearing about it? Where are you at?
I mean, I'm booting up my Blessing Super Fun game release calendar 2022, and I'm looking at December. And right now, for December, you got Callisto Protocol. That's coming out December 2nd. Marvel's Midnight Suns also coming out December 2nd, same day as Callisto. So we're going to have to make a choice, goddamn.
A double feature.
I'm going to find
Callisto in the day and Marvel in the night. Or
in the night, ironically, because it has suns in the title.
Right?
Yeah. And then on December 13th.
Midnight Suns, though. You could put it wherever you want.
That is true. Yeah, you can go both ways with it. But then, yeah, on December 13th, you got High on Life, which I feel like I'm looking forward to. But I feel like
Justin Roiland.
Justin Roiland joint from Squanch Games.
Oh my gosh. When is
the
that?
The more they High on Life, that's coming out December 13th, the same day as Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII.
That'll be this year's The Gunk.
I do remember The Gunk. I thought about The Gunk. I think about The Gunk often, honestly. I'd like to finish it.
Because that was another game that released, like, I want to say, like, the day after we went on, like, winter break.
Was The Gunk a Stadia game, too?
You know?
Maybe originally. It was an Xbox Game Pass game, though.
Yes, it was on Xbox Game Pass. Yeah.
That's the one that features the homie Fiona Nova playing the main character. And honestly, we did a stream of The Gunk. Like, the game was all right. Like, I thought that game was pretty decent.
Yeah, no, I fuck with The Gunk. Like, The Gunk is fun.
But I'm just saying, like, no matter, like, quality-wise, but, like, I feel like High on Life this year is going to be the one that's, like, kind of
Lost in the Shuffle.
Yeah.
1,000,000% is going to get Lost in the Shuffle. Like, I'm looking forward to High on Life just because I like this. I like Trover, and this is the next Squanch game, but it's not one that, like, seeing the gameplay, I'm not like, oh, I can't wait for High on Life. This shit's gonna blow me away in the first person boss fights or whatever. I just want to hear the jokes. I like listening to Justin Roiland just ramble for 10 minutes straight.
For me, well, yeah, High on Life, whatever. I don't know. I you know how much I liked all the VR games Justin Roiland and Squanch did, so we'll see what happens there. But for Crisis Core, yeah, I'm into it right now. You know, for sure. I would put Callisto at the top of that pile, right? In terms of things I want to play. Midnight Suns, hopefully behind it, it'll be a tasting thing. But what I like about this is what you're talking about in terms of, like, I'm invested now in the Final Fantasy VII Remake ecosystem / game universe, right? And so I know that Zach is a big part of Cloud's story and how he gets to be where he is and who he is and stuff like that. And so jumping in and playing this, what appeals to me the most is, even though random encounters not always my jam, I do love the idea of what you're talking about, where it's kind of more like a beat-em-up, where it's a little the combat's a little looser. Because one of the things I remember doing in specific spots in Remake was dialing the difficulty down, because I was just like, I'm over this room and I just want to beat the shit out of these things. And when I did that, I was like, damn, I actually enjoy this quite a bit this way. So if I'm getting the flash, the pomp and circumstance, the like what we saw in the gameplay, even as you were beating up the big old demon, whatever the hell his name is, and I'm sure you're using summons and all the other things that Tim would pop for that I don't understand, like, that looks cool. And so if it is just like, hey, this is enriching the story of Final Fantasy VII Remake for me and understanding where it's going to go in the next one, plus being cool, and I can finally understand what Ryan Clements loves so much about this game, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's one that's I'm for sure going to play as well. I think the one thing that I worry about a little bit is how different it seems from Final Fantasy VII Remake in terms of it feeling like more of a sideline project as well as something that's part of the main core part of the franchise. You know, like Janet, you mentioning that it doesn't necessarily look as great as Final Fantasy VII Remake. One of the things I loved a lot about Final Fantasy VII Remake was the presentation. You know, playing through that game at times made me feel like I was playing, like, what if Naughty Dog got really into anime and wouldn't make like a fucking JRPG? That's what Final Fantasy VII Remake reminded me of sometimes when you get into like some of the cutscenes and the cinematic presentation and all this stuff. And the things I remember the most about Final Fantasy VII, in terms of like the moments that stuck with me, were things Barrett. Like, like the scene with Barrett when the what's up with the?
That's spoilers? What I was thinking too.
What's the spoiler situation for Final Fantasy VII?
Oh, come on, gloves are off. Come Let's on. Go. Final Fantasy.
I think
VII
you can. I think you up. Can quickly just say some quick spoilers for it, and then you can go. I would like to at least give people that little heads up, but then I think it's okay.
Quick spoilers for Final Fantasy VII Remake for a thing that was part of the original Final Fantasy VII when it came out, right? The scenes where, like, the plate's falling and you see Barrett and, like, Barrett's on the search for his daughter and, like, you see the look in Barrett's eyes and I'm like, wow, I can't believe this looks this good. And, like, just the emotional, the emotional presentation that, like, Barrett's showing right. in that moment, I'm like, I can't believe this is hitting me in this way, where like I see him getting teared up and now I'm getting teared up.
He also right, what was that thing too, remember, of like he's so over the top and goofy, and then but yeah. then like the game actually does such a great job of humanizing him and making me be like, man, I fucking really like
he also
guy.
Has beautiful eyes in that game. Ridiculous. I remember that gorgeous. Being a thing. Like it was ridiculous when he finally takes off his sunglasses and you're like, God damn, I'm getting lost in those.
I know a lot of Barretts with beautiful eyes.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, there it is. Or like hanging out with Aerith at the park, and like there's so many moments of Final Fantasy VII Remake that stuck with me, and I think a big part of that was just how well presented that game is and its visuals and all that stuff. And a Final Fantasy VII, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion doesn't share a lot of those elements. I'm concerned about if it's gonna hit the same way for me, but if it is I'm in the mood for a JRPG or a game that I am just like kind of mindlessly going through the combat, I think it could hit. Like I don't think there's many other JRPG type games coming out in that time of the year aside from like Pokemon Scarlet that I need to worry about, so I might be in the mood.
Yeah, I think it'll hit in that way. It definitely won't reach those highs of Final Fantasy VII Remake for like quite a number of reasons, you know, the scope, the fact that it's not necessarily new content, and I think, you know, it's timing, the fact
but
that
maybe
like,
it's gonna
it
be one
be
of
less
those
of a conversation
kind of things.
Exactly, like I think for what it is, like if you're down for that type of like slightly more casual gameplay flow with the modernized graphics, with a little bit of that extra character and story flavor, it is like, to me, I feel like, oh gosh, Final Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, it's like a good bowl of mac and cheese. It's like, it's not necessarily a meal. It could be a meal though. You might be like, honestly, let's just, what if we just kept piling this on and I just dog this thing out? Like, that's kind of where... You can tell I've lived a life where I've made an entire box of Kraft mac and cheese and eaten it all
just
in one sitting.
Destroyed it, yeah.
I did God that in Wisconsin you. When I was like 7. It was like, they're like, there's no way she's gonna finish that. And
I was in college
I did.
When I was doing that, so respect to you.
Yeah. That was a great trip. I played like Tumba for the first time. I was living the life out there in Wisconsin. Shout out to my Uncle Johnny. Anyway, I know, friend of the show, I know you're listening.
Uncle Johnny watching right now.
Yeah, you have to. But that's kind of what the space that I think this kind of occupies for me, or for what like I kind of expect to come out of this once it lands in December.
The mac and cheese mess?
Sure.
You said you played other stuff at this Square Enix event. What else did you play?
Yeah, I played Star Ocean, The Divine Force. This is an upcoming action RPG. It's dropping super soon, October 27th. I didn't double check the actual store itself, so feel free to double check or correct me on this, but I believe there actually is a demo out for it now. Again, didn't download it, so I'm not sure.
God, this will be impossible to find on the PSN if that's true.
I'm not sure if... I saw that there was, like, from Googling, I saw there was a demo out now. I hadn't, like, downloaded it, though, so I can't speak to...
There is a demo. I'm here. I see it right now. I see it. Awesome. Star Ocean, The Divine.
So I was here for about like maybe 40 minutes. Comparison point, I for Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion, I played like 20-30 minutes. This I was okay. More like 40. And honestly, the top level stuff, I think it has like a solid combat system, but ultimately it kind of felt like an unremarkable experience for me. Again, this may land just from a genre preference. Y'all know that I don't play a whole lot of action RPGs, so for me, I kind of,
you know, I do play a lot of them and I love them, so I'm looking,
I want to hit like a higher threshold for like me. It doesn't demand to be played, but I think aspects of it are intriguing. One thing that I like, for me, like when it's kind of that mix of real-time action and like strategy bits, I like having ways I can slow things down to kind of cheese and figure things out, because I don't
fall in a hole there. Did you, Janet?
Yeah, I did fall in a hole there. I don't have as fast of reaction speed. But in terms of like the actual combat itself, like it has this slowdown system. Like you can hit like the touchpad on the PlayStation 5 controller and kind of everything would stop. And then you can kind of use items, select targets, and kind of get your general bearings when you're in the action. What you saw when I fell in that hole is they have both a, so you have this like kind of little buddy creature floating around with you named Duma, D-U-M-A, forget what it stands for offhand. But when you're not in combat, you can use their ability to fly and kind of like levitate and zoop around. Again, you know, these are quick looks at the game. I don't have as much time to spend with them. So have a hard time kind of like orienting myself properly and getting a feel for how to like conveniently move through that space in an efficient way, where it's like, okay, there's this, you can zoop and then you can glide. What you're seeing now is me sort of being in the more open area of the game where you can kind of explore and check out items and go into battles, which aren't random. You can't see them like in the overworld. I think what was most interesting about the combat here is that it's all centered around sort of this what they call Vanguard assault. So you have like, I guess, bear with me here, you have a gauge where you can like fill it up and do this rush attack. Then if you switch directions while you're doing that rush attack, you can both dodge and also potentially blindside your enemies. If they're blindsided, they lose track of you and are more susceptible to damage. So kind of the, once you like get Duma, which is pretty early in the game, you're sort of playing around with creating those blindside opportunities and doing increased damage when you're like in battle. That's kind of the quick ebb and flow from like that bit that I first started playing. I do find that to be interesting generally, and I think the combat was pretty approachable, but there was kind of a lot going on. And I think for me, the general world building and how kind of just empty and run-of-the-mill the space felt didn't quite land for me. I did still enjoy like going around the area, because I just am obsessed with just finding shit in games. I'm like, what is that? Let's pick up this item I'm never gonna use. What's a tree branch? I could use this for something later, you know. I do get a kick out of that, but at least in this kind of opening area, you know, the story didn't really grab me. The environment wasn't like a big sell for me, and I think the combat didn't completely hook me, even though I was able to kind of generally understand, okay, here's how you can maybe like create extra damage and how you can like slow down and pick certain, okay, you know, here I'm fighting a giant enemy and like you can pick the weak points and all of that. But it was a lot, especially as like a someone not as versed in this genre, it felt like a lot to process. And ultimately I wasn't like in love with the overall outcome anyway. It was like, okay, this is just kind of a different way for me to meter measure and try to decide how I'm gonna, you know, use a certain move here versus somewhere else and, you know, back off versus go into it. But yeah, that was my time with Star Ocean: The Divine Force.
Okay, anything else?
That was about it for stuff that's like, you know, relevant in terms of, I played Dragon Quest Treasures, but that's a Switch exclusive, so that's why I wouldn't go into detail of that here. Ooh. There you go. Yeah. Check my Twitter for, you know, you don't need to, you know, we're gonna have a nice day today. We're gonna have a nice Switch day today.
It's called the Steam Deck.
We're gonna have a nice day today. I will say that game was very cute. Also a little basic in some areas, but it was cute. And then I just want to shout out that Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection is out now. That was available there during my time. I just didn't personally sit down to play it because I've already played those games and I don't plan on dipping back in specifically for that collection. But I do love those games, so if you haven't played them, I do recommend, you know, playing them now. This could be a good time to dip back in.
That's Switch exclusive though, right?
The latest release one on Switch. I think the collection came out earlier on other consoles.
Yeah.
But I remember it coming out.
Yeah, right? I thought they delayed the entire collection. I can look this up.
They delayed that back when Life is Strange True Colors came out.
It was supposed to come out with True Colors.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out with True Colors. They delayed it to the beginning of this year. I believe it came out in like February. But I remember it being a, hey, this version sucks. I remember everybody talking shit about Life is Strange at the top of the year. Because they did not release in good
you're right
form.
February 1st 2022 is everywhere else, and then this one was for the Switch.
This is just for Switch. And so what
was it, did
fixed.
They not, so what came out earlier, because this is Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection exclusively on Nintendo Switch, so the other was just Life is Strange one and two the remastered collection,
the remastered collection. Wait,
that's
so what's
how they're getting around it. But what a bunch of goons. Yeah, you're right. Select your game. There's Life is Strange Remastered Collection, Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection.
Is there a difference?
Yes.
Does one of those have two?
I'm like trying to figure that out.
Seattle with the brothers.
Life is, well, I'm talking on my butt a bit. But Life is Strange Remastered Collection must.
Because I don't think Remastered Collection had to, because I think the Remastered Collection was just the deck. Now I've confused myself.
This feels like a flashback to, was it on KFGD with my The Devil and Me, time paradox I created for myself.
Yeah,
so
when you created
this...
Mandela effect.
Says Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection. Experience two award-winning Life is Strange games on the Nintendo Switch for the first time. And then it just kind of pitches, rewind time. Da-da-da. Spoilers for the game, you rewind time. With remastered visuals and upgrade animations optimized for Switch.
But is the two, I think the question is, what are the two games?
Life is Strange Remastered Collection includes Life is Strange Remastered and Life is Strange Before the Storm Remastered.
Okay, that's exactly what I thought. And so then the Arcadia Bay Collection.
The Arcadia Bay one as well.
And they're calling it Switch exclusive?
I think it's just like the opt-in. Well, also, this isn't a Switch show anyway. I just want
to say. Well, no, this is my theory. I got a theory on this, because I think the Switch version probably isn't remastered. The Switch version is probably just the native versions.
I think it's just optimized.
You're not
going to
remaster
for
them for the Switch.
The platform.
Well, hold on.
Because they mentioned
it says Before the Storm remastered on here. Remastered visuals and animations.
It says remastered visuals and animations, yes.
Hold on, but let's be real, though.
Now
let's
I'm thinking, okay, mental note, next time they're like, hey, do you want to check this out? I'm just going to sit down with a notepad and be like, no, but can I talk to you for a couple seconds to make sure I know I tell people what the hell this is, even though I play these games?
That had to have been, either a typo or, them trying to get around some shit. Because, Before the Storm and Life Strange 1 both originally came out on PS4.
I would
what
like to apologize for everyone for opening this can of worms. I thought this would be a casual aside. I had no idea
fun.
That I had to dig
this
into.
This is just more like always a fun glimpse into the video game industry of what shit are you trying to pull
I'm
right
like,
now?
Exactly. And that's where I'm at.
I'm harmless to just quickly shout out that this was there.
There's no way that they remastered a PS4 version of Life is Strange for the Switch. That's not how that works. The Switch, I don't even think is as powerful as the PS4.
They do. So I'm on both the PlayStation page for Life is Strange Remastered Collection PS4 and the Nintendo page for Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection. And I'll tell you guys, they sound pretty similar. The Nintendo one does say experience two Life is Strange games in one remastered collection. Life is Strange Remastered and Life is Strange Before the Storm Remastered. Mm-hmm. And then PlayStation says Life is Strange Remastered Collection includes Life is Strange Remastered and Life is Strange Before the Storm Remastered. They're the same game, but different names on Nintendo for some reason. Different names.
Probably, and I bet that's because they couldn't put remastered in the title on Nintendo, because people would question it. People like me, because I would question it. They put it in the description, but
you know what the problem? You know what the thing is? Life is Strange has never been on Nintendo before, so the argument would be, how can you remaster something in a title that's never been here?
Crisis Core wasn't. Well, I guess Crisis Core is called Reunion.
Well, they're like maybe porting. They're porting the remastered version. Anyway, y'all should have played it already, so if you didn't...
You should have. We never shut up about Life is Strange,
you know,
right?
So this there's that.
Exclusive to the Nintendo Switch.
I thought for sure that would just be these are on Switch. Not going to talk about them, because, it's not a Switch show. So there's Dragon Quest Treasures, and then whatever that Life is Strange thing is, you can buy that. That's available. That's there.
You know what else you can spend your hard-earned money on, ladies and gentlemen? Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can support us, get your name right on the show, get your questions right on the show, get the show ad-free, get the show today for the last time with the exclusive post show we do before we change how we do all the extra exclusive programming next week. Again, there's a video up on all the YouTube channels about it and Twitters and all that jazz. However, I digress. For right now, if you wanted this show without ads, you should have gone to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, because here's a word from your sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. We've all heard of gut instinct, but have you ever heard of butt instinct? It's when your butt tells you it wants new undies. Listen to your butt. Luckily, we work with MeUndies, makers of the most buttery, soft, and sustainable undies, bralettes, and socks that exist. You know that I have lived my life MeUndies head to toe for the majority of the last couple years. I'm just all in on MeUndies because they are absolutely the most comfortable clothes I've ever put on my body. Available in sizes extra small to 4XL. They have new colors and prints dropping weekly, so there's always something exciting to check out. You can try their free-to-join membership for free shipping on every order and exclusive perks like an item shipped to your door every month, secret sales, and early access to their newest stuff. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. Shopify powers our very own kindoffunny.com/store, our merch store. And we love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes their first sale on Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase.
Blessing, tell me about this week in PlayStation.
This week in PlayStation, it was revealed that PlayStation Stars loyalty program currently offers better customer service as a reward. I'm pulling from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Sony's PlayStation Stars loyalty program is offering better customer support to those at a higher reward tier. As reported by VGC, those using the service after its launch in Japan today, September 29th, have complained that those on the service's fourth tier get improved customer support. Users can move up tiers by buying games from the PlayStation Store and earning trophies, effectively meaning that those with more money will receive better support from Sony. Quote, when contacting PlayStation customer support, you'll be given priority in the chat order, the reward list reads. And getting there requires users to first buy 4 games from the PlayStation Store and earn 128 rare trophies. Those who've done so will therefore be able to speak with PlayStation's customer support ahead of those who spent less money, something that has some users upset. It's not guaranteed that this PlayStation Stars reward will arrive with the North American, European, and other versions of the service, but Sony has indicated that anything will be different. Hasn't indicated anything will be different between regions. The reward program will also give players the likes of PlayStation Store wallet funds and select PlayStation Store products alongside a series of virtual collectibles. Does this entice you guys to dive deep into PlayStation
Fuck
Stars?
No.
You don't want better customer service?
It's like such a weird thing from multiple angles where it's just like, what a stupid bullet point to toss into PlayStation Stars in general, let alone the fact of like, and I know plenty of people have, but how often are you calling PlayStation support that a bullet point you're looking at and be like, oh, I really should do this. I do want to be able to push to the line when I'm like, my Vita's got a scratch in it and I need help. You know what I mean? Like,
I just
let alone
you guys, that's my
in general pay to win customer service, just like
that really is
this Jane, is the Jane best they can do to like entice you to be a part of this.
Yeah,
Janet yesterday texted, or 2 days ago, I think yesterday texted me that
it was
like,
yesterday, yeah,
you had two FIFA icons on your
I had two PS5 FIFA
she
icons, yes,
today, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, but yeah, like I can't remember the last time I hit up PlayStation customer support. I don't know if I've ever hit up PlayStation customer support now that I think about it.
There was like a
no, I need a lot of help, though. Maybe I should have been hitting them up. You know, I've been fucking struggling out here trying to change those faceplates out without ruining the little screw there.
Watch the video. You gotta watch the video.
I did watch it, but I didn't have the right size tool for it. So then I had to, like, you know, put it all back, go to the store. Yeah, but like,
I also had to go to Home Depot.
Let me know in the YouTube comments if you had to go to Home Depot as a result of owning a PS5.
No, because I'm an adult and I have like a set of tools with different screw sizes.
They don't go that small. Also, again, what happened to being nice? What happened to having a nice day together?
We're not mid-max.
A nice Thursday afternoon.
Listen, you go back to those Midwest wusses, all right? Here in California, the mean streets.
That's the least, like, tough California's ever sounded.
The mean streets of California.
The mean streets. Okay. I just think it doesn't sound that exciting generally. And even though, like, one thing that I noticed, like, everyone hated this, right? It's kind of like the fucking everyone disliked that thing from Fallout.
Yeah.
That was the energy that people came in with, even though I will say, like, it is not that unusual of a perk. There are a lot of, like, rewards things like this that mention priority customer support as a perk. That being said, like, it's a mix of, like, people are looking, they're looking for a reason, but PlayStation also always gives them one. Like, they always do. They walk into it and it's like, you set yourself up. Like, this is such an easy, and not like to dislike the story surrounding it, because I think it's worth having the conversation, but like, it's such a key headline angle. Like, you set everybody up for having a negative outlook on this service, a service that already I haven't seen a lot of excitement for outside of what I've dreamed in my own mind of what this could be. So it is a bummer that, like, PlayStation continues to, like, fumble when it comes to these moments of, I think, creating, I don't know, like a good environment in terms of, like, feeling like you are a PlayStation customer. I think there's plenty of great things PlayStation does in terms of, like, their creative output and things. But I mean, how many times do we come on here and it's like, this thing has a problem, or this thing's weird, or they're so extra with this thing.
It seems like it's always messaging, right? I feel like we always pop up lately about messaging, right? And it's like, yeah, PlayStation Stars continues to be so unexciting. And it was like, even when you read the customer service thing, and to your point, like, you know, when I got status on United, right, I got an exclusive number or whatever to call that pumps me to the line, front of that line and stuff like that. So, like, this stuff exists. It's just a weird thing for this service that, like, you struggle to care about or do anything with. Barrett, I'm going to drop into assets, right? You can still see assets because I select you individually and I realize you're not there. I toss in assets, like, the only, Shuhei Yoshida, tweeted out his PlayStation Stars screen from the app and the launcher over there, right? He says, PlayStation Star. Well, it's in Japanese, but the translation from Google says, PlayStation Stars, have fun. And then it's these little, like, you know, there's Toro. There's some of the Ape Escape monkeys.
Wow, it's like, that's so cool. So cool. I can't wait to collect these and, you know, just look at
Got some coins
phone.
Up there, some PlayStation Star coins up there. It's like, wow. All right.
Yeah. Amazing.
And like, it's like, if this is your bag, this is your bag or whatever. It's just like, okay.
But like, is anything? Put that screen into the Wolverine meme where he's looking at the picture.
Yeah. My question is, whose bag is this? Like, I don't know of anybody really who's that hyped about PlayStation Stars. And I think going back to your United thing, Greg, right? Like, we've seen these kind of perks before, right? And like, you use United as a reference. The fact that, like, United has that and they're an airport and PlayStation's doing it and it's a video game company. It's like, your audience is way past the idea of digital collectibles being a thing that's, like, worth getting excited for, at least in this form. You know, like, the customer support thing is not exciting to a gaming audience. I mean, you gotta find ways to either gamify it or at least make it a thing that'll elevate either your profile or elevate something, right? If we had, I keep going back to the PlayStation Home analogy, but if there was a PlayStation Home and I could, like, let Greg in and Greg can walk through my trophy room, guess what? Maybe I'll earn more trophies because, like, I have a reason to have these things down.
Well, that's the biggest thing about it, where it's like,
chaos
again, you
of Greg's trophy room of garbage.
It's all garbage.
You can't get away from it.
I would pay a lot of money to walk into, and then imagine if you could sort them too. You're like, I put this in, like, check out this back room I got of these fucking shovelware games.
We still haven't talked about Platy Bird, but that's probably just a conversation for a different time. No, for this one especially, it's like, oh, the star coins and stuff, and you're gonna do this. Like, I would trade, like, the customer service thing is, like, so close yet so far to making it matter of, like, you'll earn these PlayStation Star coins that you can redeem for $5 gift certificates. You can do this thing that you can, it'll give you bonus. I saw one of the articles going around, right, was talking about the fact that, oh, well, this would have been neat if this somehow would have gotten you into the PlayStation 5 line earlier, right? So you would have, it wouldn't have been so many scalpers and things like that. Like, there's ways to make this stuff cool. And yeah, I just 100%. Don't, they just aren't, nothing they've talked about and shown about it, right, has been like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Yeah. I'm curious to see which way this goes in terms of the fork of the road, because I think the expectation most of us have is that this will fizzle out after a little bit, and I'm with that expectation.
Well, it's like, to my point, like, again, I still know how it's working. They've talked about, like, you do earn points that you can redeem for the wallet funds. But it's just, that's not, like, show me that. How are the points working? What is the system? What does that system work? And instead, they're like, no, here's some of the Ape Escapes and the PS3 you can get. We're going to talk about in this state of play. Like, again, just a totally, like, meh way to talk about it. And then today, oh, yeah, and you get to the front of the customer service line. What, like, what fucking Poindexter goddamn thing are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, because their website, when you go to it, right, is like, complete campaign. Members will earn rewards by completing a variety of campaigns and activities. Our monthly check-in campaign simply requires you. And it's like, okay, there's something to do there. What do I do with all this information? I don't know. Earn points. PlayStation Stars members will have the opportunity to earn loyalty points. Points can be redeemed in a catalog that may include PSN wallet funds and select PlayStation Store products. As an additional benefit, you'll automatically earn points on PlayStation. Okay, for digital collectibles. What next? We're currently doing some early tests on this program before launching it later this year. It's like, all right, like,
yeah. And that's my other the other fork in the road here is like, okay, this is just ground floor of them trying to get this off the ground. And right now they're in the struggle mode, because that's what PlayStation does when they're launching a new thing. And maybe a year from now, PlayStation Star will be, it'll be a star. It'll take off, right? Like, maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. But I don't know, man.
Show me how many star coins to get $5 off the goddamn store. That's all people want to know.
I know we don't need another assignment, because we already struggle with the few assignments that we do have, because they're so, like, meaty. But
God of War was fantastic.
Do you want to have a race to see who can get the most digital collectibles?
Maybe not the collectibles. I want to see how much money, who can get the most money in, like, an X amount of time. But I guess we'll have to see more about, like,
how it all works.
Can I only check those in every month, and it's like the max is $5 a month or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember they did this for a while with Sony, where you could redeem your trophies for money as well, and it was like ridiculous, like the amount
melt
of trophies
them down digitally. I'm still looking forward to seeing what they come up with, only because I like seeing what these systems have to offer. I'm a big fan of reward stuff. Y'all know that from my time with the McDonald's app. Who could forget the iconic McDonald's app? I'm also putting my money into Starbucks. People are like, you know, you're just basically making Starbucks a bank, and they're making a lot of money. I don't care. I get my little stars, and sometimes they give me a free frappuccino, and that's all I get.
This is a 150 point item. No big deal. I got that.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I'm getting mugs and shit. Like, toss it on. I really want them to do what, oddly enough, Nintendo does with their rewards. Hell yeah, shout out to that thermos or that mug that you're showing over here. I would love if they, like, for Nintendo's, they have two different points. One is cash and one is like random crap, and for the random crap you can trade it in and buy exclusive crap, like real life stuff. That's what I want. But
dude, I love,
I don't
my
know if
eShop
do that.
Points so much.
Yeah,
I get
stuff
all the time.
They off of games, and that's how I got, like, I got an exclusive, like, Splatoon bag, exclusive stickers. Like, that's how the Psycho Pass got those Mario pins that no one could get, because I don't know how the fuck they got all those points. I'm about to download Mario Run just to grind for the points, because it's that real for me. Anyway, fair enough. We'll see.
You know what else you can
maybe
download?
Stars will be that real to us one day.
You know what else you can download? PlayStation games on PC. This is our second thing that happened this week in PlayStation. We're getting more PlayStation on PC games, starting with Sackboy Big Adventure. That is coming to PC on October 27th.
Yeah.
It's been officially announced. That is getting 4K with a target at 120 FPS.
Damn, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. You're getting deep learning, super sampling, DLSS. We talk about that all the time in relation to Cyberpunk, but like the Sackboy DLSS is gonna be off the
fucking texture on that fucking sack person.
All these cool features that you're not gonna experience because you continue to not beat this game.
Yeah, and also I wouldn't play it on PC anyway. But like,
I mean, now
Now you can though. Now you can
because
get it
you're
with
gonna
all
get
the drops and teraflops you want.
16:9.
New, look at how good. Okay, but no, and I feel like people that I don't want to misrepresent. For real, this game is fucking good. And if you haven't played it, you should play it. And it is a beautiful looking game. So yeah, it's perfectly crafted.
I say that all without irony in my voice. Sackboy is a great time.
Hell yeah. I love Shag Boy. It's a great time, no asterisk. I'll say it. I'm not fucking afraid. This game, you could play this game in 5 years and it would still fucking slap.
Heck
this
yeah.
is a great game.
Heck yeah. You hear that, Greg Miller?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That electric Greg.
You know what? We could name
5 years.
Him,
no one's gonna mention a goddamn word about this
because the sequel will be out, and we'll all be talking about the sequel.
It's because Greg's gonna cut our mics out when we try to talk about it. He doesn't want people to know the truth. Anyway, yeah,
you can also get VRR. Let me tell you, I read through these PC news stories on KFGD, and now that we're on PS Love You, I can tell you all the truth. There are so many acronyms that I did not know what the fuck they were. I don't know what VRR. What is VRR?
Variable refresh rate.
Oh, it is variable refresh rate. You're right. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I was like, virtual reality in real life? What is VR? But then more for PlayStation PC stuff. Returnal for PC has leaked again. it was uploaded. There was essentially a video uploaded showing off the options menu with a bunch of details in there. Apparently, it includes DLSS and ray traced shadows.
Ooh,
love Ray Trace Shadows, and I love Returnal. So this is a very.
I was gonna say this is one you are actually gonna play though, right? You're gonna put this on your Steam Deck.
Yeah. Yeah. Someday I'll play on my Steam Deck. I'm not thirsty for Returnal right now. Like if it came out tomorrow, I don't know if I'm picking up Returnal, but I would get it and then play it when I get a hankering for it sometime, probably in a year or two. I'd be down to revisit it, but I played so much Returnal when it came out last year and earlier this year when Ascension came out that I'm kind of Returnaled out, but. I love it, and I'd absolutely want it, and yeah, I'll play it at some point. Lastly, for this week in PlayStation, PlayStation Plus games for October have been revealed. Of course, this is your premium. No, not your premium. These are your essential games, the lowest tier. You're getting Hot Wheels Unleashed, Injustice 2, and Super Hot. Hot. Super three hot. Good games. So get yes. after that.
Agreed. I had a lot of fun with Hot Wheels Unleashed on that launch stream we did, and then I was never motivated to come back. Barrett, you played a lot of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I played through the entire campaign. It's a fun time.
It's low-key kind of hard to me.
Yeah, it is. It is, and that's why that was the enjoyment I got out of it. Where it's like it's in that weird, like it's not really a kart game, but it's more in that like more arcadey type of racing game that we were talking about on Games Daily Post Show I think yesterday. And it's a fun time because I don't feel mindless while playing it, you know.
Yeah,
and I like that kind of kick, the kickback and the challenge for it, and it's also just at the same time just cute Hot Wheels going through whatever locales and stuff.
And there's like some surprising elements in there too, because as we were playing through that stream, as we were going, we were finding the customized levels, and it turned from okay, this is like a generic arcade racer into this is like Trackmania if they put the boost from Rocket League into Trackmania, where you're basically doing these obstacle courses in your cars and trying to finish the course before your friends do. And that is a genius direction for this game. And I think for the one time we streamed it, I wish I played it more, but from the one time, I really enjoyed it. And so shout out to Hot Wheels Unleashed. And also shout out to Injustice 2 and Super Hot, two very fantastic video games. Now it's time for PlayStation Picks. Of course, this is where we talk about what's coming out this week and the one thing each of us have been playing. The drop this week looks like this. The Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero, that came to PS4 on Tuesday, September 27th. Tunic came to PS5 and PS4 on Wednesday, September 27th. Death Verse Let It Die came to PS5 and PS4 on Wednesday, September 28th. And then Valkyrie Elysium came to PS5 and PS4 Thursday. And then FIFA 23 is coming out to PS5 and PS4 on Friday, September 30th. And let me tell you, that explains a lot, because me and Janet both have been playing FIFA, and I've been playing FIFA online for the last week thinking that it's out for everybody. And when I tell you that, I've been getting my ass kicked in FIFA, thinking like, yo, how have I been getting destroyed like this when it's launch day? Shouldn't all like the noobs and all this shit be playing? It makes a lot of sense if this game is not actually out until tomorrow and I'm playing with like the EA Play people and the people that paid extra to then get in early the reviewers and all that shit.
Tell me all about it though. You guys were super excited for this for FIFA. So obviously this is your pick for PlayStation. How's it been going?
Janet?
It's great. FIFA's back. Right now we're looking at the Ted Lasso footage. And when I tell you this hit harder than I ever expected it to for me and my household, because like we booted up the game, you know, I've been playing FIFA since I think... FIFA 16, I think, is when I jumped into the franchise, something like that. So, you know, I've been playing this a bunch. I hit up my brother. I'm like, hey, it's finally happening. 3:00, meet me in the living room. It was 3:30. I was like, where are you?
It's going down.
He's like, I thought you were going to get me. And I was like, that's fine. I low-key wasn't ready anyway. And I was just trying to see what I could get away with. we sit down, and then my boyfriend comes through, Isaiah, and he's like super excited, and he's like, and I'm like, what do you want us to, what matchup do you want to see, you know, like, let's just pick our teams like personally instead of leaving up to chance. And we're like, what, AFC Richmond versus AFC Richmond from Ted Lasso? And we're like, nah, it's like a little silly. And then he's like, wait, I'm not watching this unless there's at least one AFC Richmond on the pitch, because he has watched Ted Lasso like many others. And we set it up, we had AFC Richmond be at their house so we could see the stadium. And it was just like a shocking thrill to see those characters. And I think they totally nailed it. Like, they got the animations down. I feel like you even see a little bit of the personality come through with, like, when Danny Rojas scored, like, something about his celebration. I'm like, yeah, you could tell he really loves football, the way they were always talking about in the show. The only gripe I have is I don't think they make Ted Lasso jolly enough. He looks too serious of a coach. And I'm sure, you know, obviously you have a kajillion teams here. I'm sure, like, not every animation or moment is unique, obviously, and they're kind of mixed and matched for, like, different events, but I would have liked to see him be a little jollier, though. Other than that, it totally hit. It was such a thrill, and I love a lot of the updates they've done to it. Things like the wear down on the pitch while you're playing, like, we've seen some of, like, the dirt get kicked up by the post, because we spend a lot of our shots that we take are usually pretty close in the box, so after a while the pitch did wear down, like, in front of the goal. Other things that are cool, they changed how you do your, like, corner kicks, and I think the free kicks as well. It has, like, the same kind of system of, I don't know how you describe this blessing, it's like
an arc.
I don't know, situation. An arc meter, and you can also pick where you're putting your foot on the ball. So I feel like low-key, I was like, I'm gonna have to start playing soccer in real life because I don't understand the physics of this game. So yeah. I'm like, I gotta become better, and I don't know what's going on or how to hit it where I want to
go. My corner kicks have been garbled because I keep forgetting every single time, and so I just let it rip the way I usually do, and every single time it's just too close to the keeper. The keeper just catches that thing right away.
Okay, so mine there was like a little bit outside the box near where I was at, which at first was cool. It'd roll casually to like one of my players. I'd get it, and I'd be able to like position myself really well inside the box. But after I did that like three times, my brother's like, well, I'm just going to stay out here. And I'm like, no, I don't know how to do anything else. But he doesn't know either. We're both learning the game.
You just got to do like the regular pass. Like, you got to press R1, call up one of your teammates, pass to them, and then have them cross.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing too, in case you don't remember, Blessing's better at this game than I am. Like, I don't know if I am, because I've been playing.
I want to see you guys play each other. I can't believe you didn't play each other.
No, I think I've gotten worse at FIFA over the, because I used to be a FIFA fanatic, and I played, like, I started at FIFA 05. I got really heavy into FIFA during FIFA 10, and then from FIFA 10 to FIFA 15, I was fucking into it. The friend group, that was our game. We played FIFA all the time. But then, like, somewhere around, like, after FIFA 2016, I just dropped off. Like, I just completely stopped playing FIFA. I think that's when I got more, like, just into playing every single thing in general. And so I just didn't have the time for FIFA. And so, like, I started hopping in a little bit in the last couple of years. But, like, now I've been hopping into FIFA 23 a little bit more hardcore, just playing the online seasons mode. And I'm, like, back to the satisfaction of FIFA. Like, every time I score a goal, I am in my room like, oh, let's fucking go. And I'm sure Michael's like, what the fuck is happening over there?
I will say, too, like, because I don't know. I don't really know how to describe how competitive I am or not. I'm sure my brother could probably give a better assessment than me because he plays with me. But I found myself being so much more animated. I think much like, you know, people always ask like, oh, why do they put out it every year? It's the same game every year, whatever. And it's always people that don't fucking play the game, of course. And if you hit me up with that shit, I will block you on Twitter.com. I've done it already. Don't fuck with me this FIFA season. This is my holiday.
It is.
People always like mention besides the fact that there is a fuck ton of actual iterations per game, one thing that's cool about it being an annualized release is if you're not playing like every single day, you know, you probably did fall off or peter off at one point in that year and be like, oh, I'm just gonna wait for the next one to come out. And then when it does, it like just reignites that energy that you had for this game and you remember the thrill. Also too, one thing I really want to shout out for differences is the inclusion of women's leagues for the first time in the game. Which, to clarify, because especially again, people that don't know soccer or don't know the game, they had women's international teams. So something like the US women's international team, you could play as them for many, many years in the franchise. Yeah. But the leagues are new. So like a league would be something like, we have the MLS here. Like, that's a league within the United States, men's soccer. Now they have women's. Unfortunately, the leagues are only for England and France, which is very frustrating because that's not a lot of leagues, and they are, like,
I'm surprised,
you know,
the U.S. league isn't in there. Like, I don't follow U.S. soccer, but I feel like the U.S. women's soccer gets hyped up. And I don't – is that just the national team, or is it not the league as well?
It's definitely just a national team, but like, okay. I mean, in general, I think it's not, you know, news that women's sports is not as, you know, respected or well paid or well promoted as men's, just kind of in general. Again, I'm sure there are exceptions, especially I don't know the entirety of the soccer world, but I just feel like so often with FIFA, things do lean on like the Eurocentrism of the sport. And I know people will argue, well, they have some of the best leagues, and that is absolutely true. But again, why is that, right? That meme from like ESPN, why is that? Again, I think there's value to just having, representing the diversity within the sport. And we've certainly seen things like that with the inclusion of Volta and celebration of street soccer.
I
like,
love Volta so much.
I know. And I think just the TLDR list is so much more. Oh, me too. Remember when we played together? It was awful. We did terrible. But like, you know, I could talk about this for a while. I'll try to, you know, wrap it up for sake of time. But
oh my God, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. This is your moment. Talk about FIFA.
Just having like, there's a value to just having more teams, whether or not, no one's as good as, you know, some of these like European teams are the height of the sport, but like there's still so much value in celebrating these other leagues. And I feel like it's especially frustrating. You see so much more support on that men's side. So for them to be like, oh, here's the women's leagues, first time ever. And I'm like, you hope you like England and France, bitch, because that's all we have. So that was a little bit salty. I know they might add more in updates, and I'm sure as the years go on, but like, as usual with the shit, whenever diversity hits, it's like, oh, in 10 years, the gap will really start to close in. But yeah, what's up, Les?
I'm surprised I didn't lead with this, but I am happy to report, everybody, that my main team in FIFA is back, Juventus, after having exclusivity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, after having exclusivity for years and years and years with, God, I almost said Winning 11, which is the old name for it, with Pro Evolution Soccer over at Konami. We finally got him back, everybody, and I can finally play as Juventus.
Were you playing as fake Juventus before?
Yes, I was playing as fake, as, what was it called? Calcio something, Piedmont Calcio, so it was called something like that.
Also, real quick for the AFC Richmond, I'd love people to like let me know what they think about this in the comments. I felt like their stats were a little high for the kind of team they are, too.
That's what I've been saying. I said the same thing on KFGD. I was like, their stats better be shit. Their stats better be shit, and their stats are actually pretty okay.
But I did face them against, I played that, like, because my brother played as them, and I was, forgive me if I mispronounced
it. Are they still a bad team in the show? Like, he hasn't turned it around yet?
Well, compared to the Premier League,
their players are good. They just don't come together as a team well. But since you're the one bringing them together as a team, that's why they're playing well, guys. Come on.
I will say, in defense of the stats, I played against them as, I want to say, is it Leicester City, how you pronounce it? And that's one of the teams that's a little bit, that's like more at the bottom of Premier League. And they were kind of like around the same stats. So maybe it's not like that of a rating. But I did feel like, at a quick glance, I'm like, y'all got a couple 80s in here, where I was thinking you'd be like high 70s at best. But again, it is still a premier.
You don't think Roy Ken is team?
I mean, I didn't look at the individual players.
He's old too, though.
Old. That's the thing.
He's in the 80s and he's that old. That's
I'm booting it up right now. I'm booting it up.
Also, end of the match we played, my brother did swap out Roy Kent because he was tired. I'm like, of course he's fucking tired. He's old as shit. That's the whole point. Man,
65 years old. Get him off the pitch.
Of the arc, but and obviously like, you know, Jamie Tartt from the back of the net when my brother like played as him, and it was a fun time. I don't think they have the chance, which again, I think is another miss. Now, maybe they do and I just didn't hear it, or I didn't trigger the right events, but I didn't hear the Jamie Tartt, that would have been cool.
Oh, I don't think they're going to go that far.
That's got to be licensed. They have to license Baby Shark.
I didn't hear that either. Oh yeah, that is a Baby Shark thing too.
Yeah, they might, but I don't know. Like,
I also didn't see Ted Lasso. I played AFC Richmond.
EA's only got so much to throw around in these games, Janet. They can't be going that far.
Forget one of the Star Wars games and put it on.
Yeah, shut down fucking Battlefront 3. Just keep putting stuff into this. I played AFC Richmond exactly once. It was my first online seasons game, and I lost, which is on brand for AFC Richmond. So yeah. I was like, all right, cool, hell yeah, we did the thing, and I've not played as them again. But I didn't see Ted Lasso run once, and I don't know if that's because
that's
like
weird.
When I play, I tend to, depending on who I'm playing against, tend to not really have any transitional stuff happen, because like Janet, I'm not getting fouls, I'm not getting outs, I'm not getting, like, you know, there's no goal kicks happening, all right? I'm playing a very, like, professional game of soccer.
It's a clean game.
He respects the sport, Janet.
I'm going straight for the legs if I need to, like, you know.
Well, the more I've been playing, though, the less clean the game's been going, because I've been getting mad.
I definitely have fouled a lot already. I like to, I don't use these, like, the only supports that I use on you know, there's a bunch of like tutorialization baked into the game and everyone sets it up differently. Like the only thing I use is the timed finish, which doesn't seem to be popping up for me weirdly, but I do want to shout out that they now have offsides indicator as an option in terms of like the back end settings, which I think is cool because
that's actually
if you're
good.
Someone interested in playing, like I did play a few games before with Isaiah who doesn't watch soccer, doesn't play FIFA. Like me and Edwin have played with him before. And one thing that he and most people who are learning soccer struggle to understand is the concept of being offsides, where you have one player that's, you know, way towards the goal, for instance, there's no defenders behind them. Yeah. Yes. So like, if you play the FIFA or you watch a lot of soccer, like you kind of know, oh, that's probably offsides, or I thought that was offsides, or oh yeah, of course it called offsides. And if you didn't, you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? And why does it matter? You know, is the frustration I hear from a lot of people.
It's so, like, it's like when I play when I play a hockey game and they're like, oh, you got your icing. And I'm like, I still don't, to this day, I'm like, what the fuck is icing? I still don't understand. I'm sure that's
it's when you put a Smirnoff ice somewhere and then someone finds it and they got to take it. It's when
they
find it
and they have to, like, the goalkeeper in the ice thing has to chuck it. And I'm sure that's
such a dangerous combo of the sport.
Smirnoff ice and hockey?
Yeah. Oh, someone's doing it out
there. No, that's just a regular NHL game right there. Come on. What are you talking about?
Twice the fights are breaking out. Did Barrett just leave? Dude just left.
Janet left.
Janet just left. Oh, she made a point and bounced.
I have the stats pulled up for AFC Richmond. Danny Rojas is sitting at an 82. Jamie Tartt is at an 84. Roy Kent at an 83, which, again, that man is old. He shouldn't be sitting at 83. That man is maybe a 75 at best. Obisanya, 81. And then McAdoo, the team captain, is sitting at an 80. So these are high stats, I'd say, for AFC. I feel like we can dial all those.
I mean, for a team that in season one got relegated.
Yeah, and then barely made it. I forget what happened at the end of season two, but I feel like
they barely made it. Also, spoilers for Ted Lasso.
Spoilers for Ted Lasso. Like, come on. I feel like that. I don't know if they're this high on the ranking.
Even though I don't think they really show, like, the assistant coaches in general, like, it would have been cool to see, like, a couple more people going on in the thing, but. Yeah, the game's awesome. I'm having a blast. For as far as the women's game too, or like the women's leagues, I play it as Tottenham. So like, shout out to Gary Whitta because I believe that's his team. I don't know if he follows the women's one, but he definitely follows the men's one. As you know, if you listen to KFGD, you could hear him yelling about Tottenham. And I had the fucking game of my life playing as Tottenham. I don't know what's in that water out there, but like, there's a woman that I played as. She's number 9. I forget her name offhand. She got I won this game like fucking 4-0 or some shit. It was a shutout. And this woman is like 10 feet tall and she dominated everybody. I have a clip on Twitter where it's like, I miss and I get the corner because the goalie like touches it, you know, and I do the corner. She takes it, hits it with her chest, brings it down, hits it in. Like, that's one of many highlights. Also, the way they show the highlights now is very cool.
The highlights are so fucking dope this year.
It's so good.
I love them so much. It's like all with like motion graphics and stats. And so like, you see like the miles per hour in which player is running. You see like the angle in which like they're hitting all this shit.
Here's the clip. Oh my God. It's so good.
This is the corner.
This is me not knowing how to do my corner kick, but I think I do a pretty good job for not knowing how to do it. Boom. Brings it down.
Oh, that was beautiful.
And then here we have they do the replay, and the replay is so cool.
I love it so much.
Some of the celebrations are pretty fun too. They've like added in some new ones. Like there's one that Tottenham ends up doing a lot where she puts her face like all in the camera and it's crazy. Also, the crowd goes wild during this clip as well.
Oh, they're like hella out here. Jesus.
Oh, they go fucking ham for this war out in Tottenham, I'll tell you. But yeah, I love that they have like the slowdown, like they have like a stats integration. I don't know if they show it maybe in this one that I think about it. It's like doesn't come up for all the goals, but they highlight like the hyper motion.
I don't know. It sounds like a real FIFA thing, but I don't know if it's a real FIFA thing.
Isn't that like their, isn't that like a name for like either not their engine, but maybe like a that's like
the frost engine.
It's like a dev thing, right? It's like a nod to like, isn't that the system? Like a new system that they've kind of tried to add in or some shit like that. But those are my top level things from my time with FIFA so far. Do you have any stories from the pitch you want to shout out?
I don't have many stories. It's just been me losing a lot and then getting really happy when I win. That's my thing, is I've gotten so rusty. Also, Bear has found
some footage of the high promotion.
So yeah, they'll like fucking change the angle and you see like all the stats.
It's so cool.
That's and totally the top speed of the ball is fucking dope as fuck. I love it.
Is this, you guys are having a great time with it, but is this like
game of the year? Yes.
No, I was going to say, like, is it a marked improvement from last year's FIFA, or is this just stuff they've been iterating on forever?
I think it's a lot of iteration, but I also think it might be just that next gen touch to it where we're far enough now into the gen where we're finally, I think we're finally feeling a lot of those. Oh, this is now more detailed. Like we're going above and beyond with a lot of the features that we're adding. Because one of the things I've noticed, especially jumping into this current gen of FIFA, is that I swear to God, the game feels slower and more sluggish and like more like there's so much animation in the characters that just to receive a ball, settle with the ball, and then either run with it or pass it. It feels like it takes 5 more steps as opposed to the one touch that I felt like I was getting off in earlier FIFA games where I felt like I could just thread through all these different things. As I've been playing this recent one, it has been the thing of, all right, I'll thread through here, and then like somehow by like the stretching at the last second, my opponent is able to like get the deflection on the ball, right? Or like I am doing so many touches to then get the pass off. It feels way more, I guess, detailed and almost more mechanical in like a good way, right? Like almost more human in a lot of the movements in my characters in ways that has been it's been taking a lot of getting used to, but the more I play it, the more I like it because it feels less just cheap when I am fucking, all right, I know exactly where to take the ball. Pass to this guy, thread here, boom, it's done. There feels like there's a lot more you kind of need to manage and pay attention to. And like there's a bit of luck in there too in terms of, hey, this character, make sure this character doesn't fucking trip and fall over or whatever weird physics thing might happen. But it all feels like it's purposeful. It all feels like there's an element of control around it that I really like. So I've been liking playing this one even more than some of the recent ones.
Yeah, I think it's been a while since I felt a significant jump personally, but I also don't need one. I think when you are iterating annually, it's not necessarily needed to have that. I will also, though, say that I mostly play local just against my brother or online just against Bless or something. So I don't have a lot of the, like, I think the number one complaints with FIFA are elements of, like, the monetization and things like that.
Ultimate Team.
I don't really touch any of that stuff, so I can't really comment on it, nor do I have like an opinion on it because I haven't engaged with it. And then there's another layer of like, there's levels to knowing FIFA. And while I play it every year, love talking about it, love doing content on it, I think even now I'd be very, in my opinion, ill-equipped to do a formal review of the game because I don't know all of the ins and outs. So I think if you really want to dive deep on how much of a marked improvement this is or isn't, I would recommend finding a FIFA reviewer that you fuck with and just rolling with them until the end of time, because they'll be able to really talk about, like, there are FIFAs I fucking adore, and I'll look at their reviews and they're like, it's an 8 or it's a 7 or whatever, but that's because they have a much more detailed high standard. Like, I'm just looking to, I like this game anyway, you know.
I've been considering hopping an Ultimate Team. That is how much I've been enjoying it this time around. So I do think there is something in the water with this FIFA where it's hidden differently than the previous ones. I'm back into being hooked. As soon as we wrap up here, I'm gonna
go. It's
FC
Richmond. It's inspiring, you know, is the thing. Yeah. But yeah, like,
so,
it's just,
if you want to hop into FIFA after this, let me know. I'll play
it. You know what? Fuck it. I could use some FIFA. I could use some
stream
FIFA.
Stream it. I want to see you guys go at it.
We've played against each other. I mean, I'm down to do more content. Also, EA, I know you're listening because you put Ted Lasso in FIFA.
Can I do a match for the post, you know, show? Can we get this going?
Yeah.
Can we actually?
Okay. Not with the tech that I have available for me to show it.
That's
couldn't Bless share his screen? And then
that's all I was going to do. I was going to share my OBS screen.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Let's have some fun. Yeah, set that shit up. Well, he sets that up, ladies and gentlemen. I'll remind you that this is PS I Love You XOXO. Each and every week, we come at you with all the PlayStation news you need to know about. If you like hanging out with us, of course, the best way to do that's on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, you can watch us record the show live, just like, hold on, sorry, Mr. Hawks is, Cooper is, Joshy GR. Of course, they could talk, they can interact with themselves. Barrett yells at them a lot. I watch it happen every week. Of course, you can get the show ad free on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, and you can get the exclusive post show we're about to do, which we're pivoting to be Blessing versus Janet in FIFA, everybody. Very, very exciting. And remember, this is the final PS I Love You XOXO post show because starting in October, we are moving into the studio on the 14th and we are changing the way we do programming. Post shows are going away and we are unveiling a new slate of exclusive shows all on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can find all about it by going to see our YouTube channels and watch the little video where we walk you through all the Patreon changes and what's happening, all that stuff. But we're excited to next week start doing this, introduce you to the brand new show Blessing Janet and myself are doing, Remember Blank, where each and every week we will pick an old PlayStation game to reminisce about, talk about, and go through. What is your homework for that first episode that we will be doing next week? It's easy, ladies and gentlemen. We go around and everybody gets a week. I'm starting and I'm doing Mother fucking Helldivers. So it is time to talk about Helldivers, to get ready for Helldivers 2. This is your chance, everybody.
The game
get
that is not there. Announced.
It's coming, and we will talk about all the rumors and speculation surrounding that as well, and why we are so confident that Arrowhead is in fact doing it. If you don't want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or just can't support, we totally get it. Remember, of course, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand new episode. Of course, you can go the extra mile and use the Epic creator code Kinda Funny if you're playing Fortnite on your PlayStation, Rumbleverse on your PlayStation, or maybe downloading something off the Epic Game Store. I don't know why you use PC. If you use the creator code, we get a few bucks and it doesn't cost you anything. Yes, it even works if you're just redeeming free items. So please do it for us. For now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a hell of a post show here. We're going to see what happens in this game. I'm excited to see a little bit of it. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.